We're speaking now with Brian Riley. He is the Republican candidate for District 1 Bonner County Commission. And Brian, I want to say thank you for taking time to talk with us.
Thank you for inviting me today.
Well, let's start with an introduction for the voters. Tell us a bit about your background, how long you've lived here, how you wound up in North Idaho, and also what you consider to be pertinent experience and qualifications for this job.
Hey, I'm Brian Riley. I'm running for Bonner County Commissioner District 1. I have been in Bonner County now continuously for 39 years. I was born in Southern California and spent the first few years of my life there. And then my mom and I, along with my grandparents, moved to North Idaho, where there were some roots from my grandparents' side of the family. And once I hit Sagal at that time, that's been home ever since. Mm-hmm. I've been married now for 27 years. My wife and I have two boys. They are 23 and 21 years old. Mm-hmm. And all of us attended Sagal Elementary School, Sandpoint Middle School, mm-hmm. and all of us graduated from Sandpoint High School. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I was part of the first graduating class in 1992 from the current high school that we have now. So,
okay.
Been here for a little while. We live out in Sagal on my wife's family's homestead that's over 100 years old. The property's been in her family. We've been fortunate enough to be able to purchase a portion of that, so that way we can carry it on and hopefully keep it within the family without it getting sold outside, so that our kids have a part of what has been part of their family for over a century now. Mm. As far as education beyond high school for me, I attended North Idaho College. As I was at North Idaho College, of course, I went to get a summer job out at Riley Creek, which is now Idaho Forest Group. That was back in 1996. And I spent 25 years with them. Started out as a college cleanup person. About 5 years later, worked my way into junior management. In 2007, I was a full-blown supervisor of the Green End, which would be the sawmill and the log yard. Shortly after that, I became the maintenance supervisor for Laclede. And in 2009, I became the maintenance manager for Idaho Forest Group for the Laclede facility and the Chilco facility. So I had engineering, I had mechanics, maintenance mechanics, electricians, and the procurement departments all underneath me. So I had about 120 employees at that time. And that's where I really started to get involved with budgeting. In late 2015, I then took over the Laclede facility as the general manager, plant manager, different titles went along with it. So I had 170 employees. I was responsible for the facility, had about a $2 million a month operating budget, not including the log costs that we had to go with that. So I have quite a bit of budgeting background. I have people background, and of course, being in the timber industry, there's often been times where it's not the favored industry in the area, and there's also been some times where having to meet with the public and not be the popular person in the room has been part of my experience.
Dealing with some conflict in that way.
Definitely, yeah. Conflict, mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, one of those such times, we were putting in the great big crane that's out in Laclede. I'm sure if you've traveled between Sandpoint and Priest River, you've seen it. We knew that the neighbors were going to be like, what is going on? It's 120 feet in the air, and it travels 850 feet east and west. So we started out with community meetings about a year before we began digging on the project, and we started asking their concerns and asking them to help us design it to alleviate some of those concerns and make it to where it wasn't such an issue for them. And that turned out really well. After we had the meetings, put together questions and answers from those meetings, invited people to go take a tour of the mill. It went very smoothly. In fact, the biggest issue we had was someone that was actually over at Willow Bay area, across the river mm-hmm. from the mill. Mm-hmm. A light was reflecting off of the river, mm-hmm. and they called and asked if we could move the light. And once we identified the light, which I went over there one morning, met with them before it got daylight, figured out the light, moved it that day. Next morning, called them, and we took care of it. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of experience there that I feel goes with the county commissioner dealing with the public, understanding their concerns, and getting back to them when they do call with something, not just ignoring their calls.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll say mill cleanup is a good way to start a career. I actually started in sawmill cleanup in Oregon growing up.
Oh, did you?
In high school. We had a very clean sawmill, I'll say that.
Yeah, back in those days, too, it was a little bit different with the cleanup and what the expectations were.
Yeah, we actually had the teepee burner still.
We did, too, when I first started.
Yeah.
We did, too. And then, actually, another thing that happened that, you know, you get asked a lot of questions during a campaign like this, and one is how you deal with issues that come up. And we had an OSHA inspection one time where the gentleman walked in, dropped a clipboard down on our floor, and he seen dust fly up. And I was filming the whole thing with my phone, and we ended up getting a housekeeping fine because we were in a sawmill and some dust flew up from around his clipboard. And
I never got a dust test. I'll say that.
I hadn't either. And I actually knew at that point it was going to be an industry issue. So, of course, you know, with sawmills, you don't talk to your industry partners. You are competitors at that point. Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, I need to get a hold of Stimson. I got with Alta. We got with Plum Creek over in Montana, Weyerhaeuser. And we started talking about those issues and what we could do to work with OSHA and let them know what our industry was. And it's green dust. Mm-hmm. So, of course, they were worried about explosive dust. Mm-hmm. But the green and the moisture content, we were able to prove and to show them that it wasn't explosive, and then they understood. So it was a lot of just teaching even some of the government agencies that are regulating as well. So that was a fun project.
Okay, Brian Riley, running for county commissioner. The question I ask all the candidates, why are you running?
I feel with my experiences in managing in the timber industry, managing a complete facility, profit and loss and budgets and the people, working with HR, I have a lot of transferable skills that would fit right into this role. This is a board of three, and with Idaho Forest Group, we had five facilities. So our leadership board, there was five of us, a couple extra people, but a lot of the decisions made, of course, were majority rules. So you tried to explain your situation, explain the issues, explain what you were trying to do. If you were trying to change something that was in the handbook for policies, a lot of different scenarios came up. So we use facts and data a lot. And it's the same thing when you're making decisions. I feel the Board of County Commissioners should just be like a business board. Use facts and data. Look at ordinances. Look at laws. And make your decisions on what you have available at that time to guide you through that process.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Another question I'm asking everyone. If elected, how much time will you be able to devote to your office on a weekly basis?
I feel it should be a 40-hour week job. Mm-hmm. If you have 18 departments, all of those department heads are looking to you for advice. They're all going to have a situation where they need help with something. And that's part of your job, is to take some of that stresses off of those individuals. And plus, you're listening to the public. You're listening to your constituents and trying to understand those concerns. And if you are not in the office, how are people getting in touch with you? How are your department heads or the employees of the county? How are they using you as an example to go to work every day? Turnover has been a big issue within our county departments right now, and there's a huge cost with that. I think it's 35 to 40% typically in a business turnover cost on an annual basis. Well, if one department of 50 is going through 40 people in a three-year time span, that is a lot of money that is our money, our taxpayer money, that's being spent just recruiting and training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, training's a big thing. And I think a lot of businesses are feeling that turnover problem. Well, what do you consider to be the biggest issues in the county commission race that you want voters to consider?
If you look at any of the social media platforms in the newspapers, the big thing is the way that the Tuesday business meetings are being ran and land uses. Those topics always hit, but they bubble up to the top in a lot of areas. But when you get your feet on the ground and you start talking to people and doing meet and greets, one of the big concerns people have is their property taxes. And of course, where their money is going. And we all have skin in the game, so to speak, of that. It doesn't matter if you're renting, if you own, if you have a business. Property taxes and where your dollars are going is a big topic for a lot of people when you actually sit down and talk to them, because we all know what the economy is like now, and every dollar counts for our family. So that's one of the big topics, is you're talking to people that they talk to you about. Of course, land use and property rights, those are always a big one. Right now, the comp plan is being refurbished, so to speak. It's under, I believe, the...
They're doing an update, yeah.
The third update it's ever had. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been completed, so it'll be great when that is finally completed. The Planning Commission that's working on that, a board of volunteers, they're really going through it. I went through one of their meetings and I listened to it, so they're being very thorough and trying to look at the subcommittee plans as well that were developed in the different areas of the county and tie all of those aspects together, which is good.
Yeah, there were a series of meetings in what they call sub-areas of the county,
yes,
where those neighbors were invited to come and give their input on how they'd like to see their area develop.
Absolutely, which is great. I mean, having the community as a whole make the suggestions and to build this plan that's going to be used for the next 15, 20 years, who knows how long. I mean, everybody that participated in that, I thank you to everyone, because it's, you're looking at everybody's opinions and philosophies and tying them all together with the board that's pretty diverse, mm-hmm, in who's in there right now. So that, I feel that's a good thing that's happening. So it'd be good to see that finished.
Mm-hmm. Do you see any changes with property taxes? I believe a lot of, you know, the property tax rules are set by the state.
Correct. And then as you spend, you have to get more dollars. I believe if you have, in the business world, you need to look at things as a, we need to have or we want to haves. Well, you need to take care of the need to haves as you're going into things. And then you really look at the want to haves. In the business world, if you're not maintaining a very balanced budget and you're letting things get out of control, you don't wait till the next election cycle to see if you don't have a job. It happens in the middle somewhere. There could be weeks or it could be months. So using some of the tools that I've had experience with in the past, returns of investment in the private world, just understanding why you need these things and what you really gain back from them, instead of just saying, hey, I need this fancy new truck for Department A because they put on 20,000 miles a year. They've had it for three. Well, they've only had 60,000. Do you really need those things? Do you need those items? Let's be very responsible with the taxpayers' money and let's not let it get out of hand.
Mm-hmm. One of the big functions of the office is, or the county commission government, the county government is making sure we have good roads. How do you think the county's doing in respect to our roads?
Our roads, it's a challenge up here just because of our climate. We just came out of a very mild winter, but it was wet and we had a cold spell. So that has an effect on the roads in the springtime where roads are a big issue. Going to summer, you have the dust and you have the dust abatement. And for the number of miles we have in our county of a road system, our road department, I feel, does a pretty good job of addressing a lot of the concerns. They can't do it every day. They can't do it every week. But they're out there, they're working, plowing in the winter. Over the last 25, 30 years, it's a big difference now. It's a big improvement from what it used to be. And you've just seen it building every year with the equipment that they're purchasing, the maintenance, the staff that they have that really cares. I spent some time this last January down in southern Idaho, and there were some of their county roads that I wouldn't even take my four-wheel drive pickup down. I couldn't get down them just because they hadn't been plowed and they were drifted over and people were stuck in there. And I don't think I've seen roads drifted over where you couldn't get in or out with a four-wheel drive pickup up here in years. So mm-hmm. It's been several years. So I think our road department, they do a pretty good job. I mean, they have issues. They're not perfect, but they understand those issues and they have a plan to make things better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, one of the things you mentioned was the way the Tuesday commissioner meetings are being run. And I think it's fair to say that relations between the commissioners have been rocky, and many of the weekly meetings have been devolving into arguments, not just between the commissioners, but also with some of the attending residents, led at one point to two of the local residents being trespassed from county property. So my question, to frame it up here, is what do you think is causing such deep divisions, and what steps might you take to make the climate of these commissioner meetings more civil and productive?
I think that goes back to some of my experiences with dealing with the public and a board in a business type board. You need to be willing to listen to everybody on the board. Conflicting opinions are a good thing. There's been many times I've sat down in a meeting and I've had my mind made up. This is the way we need to do this. This is how we need to act on this issue. And by having a group, we had a Tuesday meeting also with Idaho Forest Group of the managers at the Laclede facility. And we talked about all the issues, very similar as what the Tuesday meetings are in the county. And I would come out of some of those meetings listening to my managers going, you're right. I wasn't looking at it from that direction of things or that angle. And that's where it's nice to have three. And you have to be willing to listen to conflicting opinions and then make the best judgment on, again, going back, looking at the ordinances and the laws, that you have to be legal. And you have to look at all of the different perceptions, because perceptions are reality of the constituents, and make your decision from there. And if you're representing the county, if each person is doing that and listening, you're going to have differences of opinion because everybody's perception is different, but you have to take all that into effect and be willing to listen with respect to the other commissioners. And I feel listening to the public at those meetings is also important. I know 2 years ago when I was running, the meetings, they had discussion from the public. Public comment was after each agenda item. And there were some very good points that were brought up from the public at that time. I would like to see us go back to that too, so that there's more input into a decision being made.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, one of the particular sources of conflict have been the fairgrounds and issues revolving around the fairgrounds. To throw out a couple of those, the sheriff published a report last year indicating that up to $247,000 of fairground funds were misappropriated over a four-year period up to 2022, specifically through fraud by its late fair director. The county fair board, that's the allegation at least, the county fair board issued a release last fall claiming the commissioners and the county clerk were to blame. Commissioners subsequently have voted to hire an outside audit. And before that, a proposed RV park at the fairgrounds stoked conflict between the sheriff and the fair board commissioners and the Bonner County commissioners. And a $473,000 grant from the state to build that RV park has been withdrawn. So to frame up the question, what's your take on the issues surrounding the fairgrounds?
There's a lot of issues with the fairgrounds going on right now. Like you said, a forensic audit looking at the funds that were allegedly misappropriated, that is the first start. Anytime you can get an audit done is a great thing. I'm used to annual audits occurring to make sure that we were appropriating budgets correctly and we weren't missing any funds. So I think that's step one. The other thing you mentioned in there, of course, was with the RV park. I think the jail issues are in there. Parking lot issue.
The sheriff, the justice center.
Sorry,
yeah, the sheriff wants some of that property held for a future justice center. Yeah.
Yeah. So, to me, what are the short term plans and what are the long term plans with that property? And I don't know if anybody has actually sat down and done a business plan on what to do with the property. So, to commit it either way without having looked at a plan, understanding all the financial impacts to all of the constituents of the county, what's going to happen with our taxpayer money, is it going to be a cost center or is it going to be what is going to happen with it? I don't know. I think to me there needs to be a lot of analysis done on the financials. Whichever direction you go, one of the items I have heard during this campaign, and it to me it seems like a logical thing to do, would be why not take some of that right now and just make it some additional parking for events that are happening at the fairgrounds? Because if you go to the fairgrounds now for a large event, you pull down off of the driveway down into the grass and the mud down in there. So why wouldn't you start building some of that as a overflow parking area in the meantime, and then really do an analysis and see what the voters of the county think we should do with all that? Are they willing to put money into Justice Center? Do they want to see something different? I don't know if I can say what I would lean towards right now because I haven't seen enough of the facts and the data coming out of that.
Yeah, I think the idea with the RV park was it would produce some revenue that would help offset those costs for the fairgrounds. But
I think it has. I don't know. At least I haven't seen, and I haven't asked though either, to see exactly what the initial outlay would be, the capital investment, so to speak, of that versus what the return would be on those funds. How far out would it take to pay off just what it was, the infrastructure would take to build that? Mm-hmm. And then if you did something later, what would the cost be, of course, to change that over at a different time to something else?
Mm-hmm. Well, we just have a couple minutes left, but Brian, what do you, out of all the myriad issues, what do you think the top challenge facing Bonner County is going to be during this next 4 years of this, or this would be a 2-year
term.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be quite a few challenges. There will be the initial challenge of what do you do the first 100, 200 days in office? It's getting the respect of the department heads and the employees. Understanding what each one of the department heads is going to need is going to be part of the challenge. And then also, our county is very diverse. We have a very diverse board of commissioners. Even all of the candidates for the district, one of the district three that are running right now, there are some different thoughts that are a broad spectrum of opinions as to what needs to happen. And understanding all of those viewpoints is going to be important in opening communication. If you can open communication and start really listening to everybody, what everybody's thoughts are, that's where I think it starts. That's how you start to get back to where people have respect for one another. People understand a little bit more of how it's different inside Sandpoint versus what you have down in the southwest corner of the county that's down areas. Closer to, well, that's close to Rathrum and the Kootenai County area down there. And then going out to Clark Fork is different than all the other areas. And I see a little bit of this because right now I'm running I have my own log hauling business and I drive different parts of the county and I see a lot of the different impacts of that as well. And there are some different issues affecting different areas of the county. And I think just understanding what it all is, there's a lot of challenges. I will say that.
Well, you're kind of going to the, you know, polarization we're seeing for one thing. So how will you go about representing constituents that may have different ideas and viewpoints than you do?
You have to take the time to talk to them. Let them give you their perspectives, because like I said earlier, perspective is reality. The way I view things, that's my reality. That's where I live, and we all have a different background. We've all come from a different area in our lives to get to where we are now. But I think what's important is Bonner County, the culture of Bonner County hasn't changed a lot in the last almost 40 years. Of course, the population has grown. There's differences of opinion, but we still have the beauty of the area. We have the lake, we have Schweitzer Mountain. We have all the outdoor experiences for everyone to enjoy. Sandpoint is a very friendly town to both the locals and also the tourism that comes in. And we need to remember that we are all dealing with the same things. We're all seeing the growth. We're all seeing the impacts of infrastructure. And it's just taking the time to listen and understand what is important to each person as well. And it boils down to the communication, kind of back to where I was talking about earlier with the Crane Project, talking to the community, understanding each person's thoughts on how to, it was a private project, so we could have just thrown it up in the air, but talking to them and understanding what their concerns were went a long ways, and I learned a lot from that project.
Okay, Brian Riley, Republican candidate for District 1, Bonner County Commission. How do people find out more about you?
Brian Riley for Bonner County, the website that I have. I'm also on Facebook, Brian Riley for Bonner County District 1. Or you can also email me at Brian Riley for Commissioner District 1 at Google Mail.
Okay. Again, Brian, thank you for taking time to talk with us.
Thank you for the invite and enjoyed it.